This piece was brought to you by Roberta's, robertaspizza.com.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. We're a member-supported food radio network broadcasting over 35 weekly shows live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. Join our hosts as they lead you through the world of craft brewing, behind the scenes of the restaurant industry, inside the battle over school food, and beyond. Find us at heritageradionetwork.org.
All right, everybody, welcome to Thursday evening. You are listening to the HRN Happy Hour. I am Katie Mosman Wadler, my co-host here, Kat Johnson.
Hello.
We have two special in-studio co-hosts, our founder, one and only Patrick Martins.
Hello, thanks for having me again.
And Mike Edison, host of Arts and Seizures on HRN.
So much more fun being a guest than just being a host.
Yay. That's how we like
for the listeners it. Especially, you talk a little less this way.
Nice. So what's going on this week, you guys, in the news? Ooh. Patrick, you had a headline you wanted to share.
Well, Rue La Rue Cafe, the Golden Girls-themed restaurant, is open in Washington Heights. Co-owned by Ruth McClanahan's son, the Golden Girls, she's Blanche, the restaurant combines pop culture and food. Want to eat like a Golden Girl? Try Sophia's 16-hour lasagna al forno. The Betty White cake, aged for 92 years, a yellow cake with cream cheese frosting and coconut flakes, and a cup of Dorothy's no-nonsense roast coffee. And if you have room, shove a piece of Rue's poppy seed cake into your purse for later.
I'm going to have the Metamucil a la mode.
Metamucil a la mode, and I didn't do enough research on this, but they are, this is the more serious one, allegations that Brazilian health officials accepted bribes to allow subpar meat onto the market. That's a more serious
I want to talk
thing.
About the Golden Girls. I
got Golden there was like no segue there.
I want to talk about the Golden Girls. I got jokes.
Thank you for being a friend, guys. I've traveled the world, and I'm back again, still getting...
I'm going to do shots of Geritol with you.
Oh, my God. I'm confused.
I didn't know about it. So, I didn't know about this Golden Girl themed restaurant. I know so many women who would like to go there.
Yeah.
Everybody knows the Golden Girl theme song, which has not been live for a decade or more, and yet everyone knows that song. Everyone knows those characters' names. It's amazing.
It was a real song. Setting. What song is it?
Thank you for being a friend. Traveled the world, around the world, and back again.
Beautiful.
You're a pal and a confidant.
Wow. Yeah, I must have been, reading a book or something when that was on.
That's classic
so,
TV.
That's my news. I have one serious bit and one light news.
I want to go to the... I seriously want to go there.
I bet it's fun.
I want to...
Well, it's your age group,
Mike. I bet you it's overrun with tourists right now, though. Like, imagine if Central Perk from Friends was a real restaurant.
Wasn't it last summer?
Yeah, exactly.
They did a pop-up.
Swamped, like...
We can do a shout out to the ladies now. We know that B. Arthur passed away, sadly, and I think Rue McClanahan passed away. But Betty White is still alive.
Betty White rocks.
I would is the old lady.
I would totally give Betty White a toss.
Absolutely.
You're kidding? She's hot.
And the oldest one was actually the youngest in real life. The lady that played the
no way.
Yeah, she was actually the youngest.
I don't know their names. I honestly never watched that show.
Cheers.
I've never seen it in my life.
I want to go to a place where no one knows my name.
I like that.
So this is a show where we talk about what's happening this week on the network and then the news. So my contribution this week is I have something that is both network news and food world news. Are you guys excited?
Yes.
Overachiever.
I had the great pleasure this weekend of going down to D.C. to take part in the Good Food Mercantile. Mm-hmm. So this is a show that it's kind of like an intimate small-scale trade show that the Good Food Awards puts on. And in case you're not familiar with the Good Food Awards, this is a group that's recognizing top food artisans and retailers from around the country, not only for making and distributing amazing products that are at the top of their fields, but also for companies that have sustainable and ethical business practices. So the best products, but also, you know, things that you can feel really, really good about buying and putting in your body. So you can check out all of our coverage from this on heritageradionetwork.org. Just go to the show page for HRN on tour. But I want to tell you a little bit about like some of the people that I met while I was down there and a few of the interviews that you can see. Also tune in tomorrow, Friday, which is going to be April 6th. Is that right? It's today, mm-hmm. April 6th. April 6th at 11 a.m. Eastern, we'll be doing a live broadcast of all the interviews back to back. Tomorrow is the 7th. Thank you, Vitor. Vitor is our studio engineer who also keeps me on track when I don't know what day it is.
Tune in on Facebook.
Correct.
So yeah, Good Food Awards this weekend was awesome. You know probably that we went out in January for the award ceremony itself, at which Patrick was a presenter, and we covered a lot of the businesses that were at the California Mercantile. DC Mercantile is really cool because a lot of places that, you know, aren't necessarily easily able to travel to California could come and present in DC. So a lot of like mid-Atlantic area businesses, we tried to focus on people who were local in DC. We got to share a bunch of cocktail recipes. We met with True Syrups and Garnishes, Crude Bitters and Sodas, Shrub District, and Republic Restoratives and cocktails. From our coverage, you can get some really great like home bartending ideas. Republic Restoratives, I want to give an extra shout out to because they also hosted the after party. They're an awesome women-owned distillery right in DC. We talked to Pia Carrison, who's one of the co-founders, and Sarah Mossbacher, who has worked with the Good Food Awards and also is now helping out with Republic Restoratives. They're just awesome ladies doing a great job in a totally male-dominated field. So they were great to talk to. Some other stuff, you know, you can learn a lot from listening to our interviews. Somebody we interviewed was Nancy Bruns. She runs a company called J.Q. Dickinson Saltworks in West Virginia. And they're actually harvesting salt from an ancient ocean that is underneath their farm in West Virginia.
Wow.
And it's really cool. It's a great way to sustainably source salt. And you can just show up to their farm anytime, and they'll take you on a tour. Everything's, like, really transparent.
Is it underground? You have to go under?
No.
That's right there? No. Well, what I love about the Good Food Awards and all these things you're digging is talking about is that they actually gather the very greatest food people in the country to taste test each category, and then they select 20 or so of winners within each category. So it's not just one winner, and it's also not just thanks for trying, you can be a winner too, everyone's a winner, everyone gets a certificate. This is truly the best tasting stuff in the world per category, and that's what really makes the Good Food Awards special. Yeah. It's not just one judge either. It's 20 judges, 30 judges judging the world's best salamis, the world's best olive oil. So anyway, really special. And Sarah Wiener, the executive director, is a colleague of mine at Slow Food, and she's very special.
And we interviewed Sarah, and it was really, really cool. When we were talking to her, we had a guest interviewer who, her name is Jennifer Isham, and she kind of runs Union Market, which is the space that we were in for the awards. But she also had done a bunch of research on Sarah and the awards, and she pointed out that a lot of businesses were actually saved single-handedly by winning Good Food Awards. You know, while many awards are given out, they're really, really remarkable, and so to have that seal on a product can literally save you from going out of business. So,
well, she also really formed a consortium of merchants, and each of those consortium of merchants, like Buy Right Market, for instance, are part of that, and part of their responsibility to have the honor of being a merchant is to buy many of the Good Food Award winners. So, very, very, it's about commerce, which is great.
Yeah, super cool. So tune in. You can also hear Sammy Kay, former radio personality who now makes vegan pork cracklins.
Snacklins.
Check it out. Snacklins.
That's my, that is clearly my future. Former radio personality making vegan pork cracklins.
You're well on your way.
Oh, man, the writing is on the wall.
Okay, so I have a food headline that I wanted to talk about. NPR reported that broth-loving hipsters are pushing up the price of beef bones. Wow. So bad news for the pups out there who want fresh beef bones.
Broth-loving hipsters.
I just want to say.
I had that story, too.
You did?
But I didn't read it.
So here's what I want to say about that. The comedian Morgan Murphy said it well, I think. What's so wrong with being a hipster? All we want to do is take our rescue dogs to go get cold brew. I think I'm so tired of this like anti-hipster.
We wrote the book.
I want someone to spend an hour on my cocktail.
Yeah.
I mean, why is it better, not better?
I love it.
You know, why is someone being an expert in a specific field considered bad?
Well, that's not what a hipster is necessarily. Listen, nobody was more maligned than the hippies, right? That's what we talk about. But there are hippies, and then there are hippies. There are a bunch of smelly tie-dye wearing homeless people, you know, who are like panhandling, you know, on BART. And then there's like the guys who started Apple Computer.
Well, the
some hippies became president. I think Bill Clinton was a hippie.
Well, the word goes back like the Jazz Age. So like, there's been all these iterations now, and like, you know, everybody has a different idea of what it is. I mean, I live in Bushwick, so like my idea of what a hipster is around here, like, yeah, I'm probably that, and I'm okay with it.
Well, I think each generation hates the generation or belittles the generation that comes after it.
Yeah, right. You could be a millennial. Yeah,
but you kind of. I think they're more of a generation wire.
Yeah.
I don't even know what a millennial is anymore. How old is a millennial, like today, like right now?
I think millennials were born between like 88 and like mid 90s or something.
I love that definition because I just missed the cutoff, so I'm not one.
So how old is a millennial now?
I'm 27 and I'm a millennial.
Okay.
Now you turned 40, right, when the Beatniks hit the scene? Is that right?
It was shortly after Lincoln freed the slaves.
Oh, man. Okay, well, other thing I wanted to talk about was this Sunday was the Big Little Lies finale.
Don't get me started on Big Little Lies.
Did you watch it, Patrick?
No.
It was actually really great. Who's in it? Reese Witherspoon,
Nicole Kidman.
That struck me as a white girl problem show.
It seemed like it was going to be.
And I watched it together. That's what she said, actually.
You strike me as a white girl problem.
It ended on a really... awesome foot. Like, it was... Yeah. It ended up being no spoilers.
I mean, I saw
it,
but...
Wait. Everyone tune out. Cover your ears.
Okay, we're going to have spoilers on Big Little Lies. Cover your ears. Vitor, I'm really sorry if you haven't seen it yet.
Well, it's based on a book, and...
Does someone kill the bad husband?
You saw it.
I didn't.
You totally saw it.
Someone was thinking about killing him.
Yeah, I was thinking about it.
See, the thing is, like, I love spoilers, so, like, if it was me listening, I'd be like, go for it, but I, like, feel really bad, like, saying what happened. But, I read the Wikipedia page of the book to find out what happened, so I knew it was coming.
We got to put a spoiler alert in our episode description.
That's so millennial of you.
I can't believe we're talking about this.
You read the Wikipedia page of the book.
So I knew what would happen in the TV show.
I did like how those guys brought tension towards...
To find out what happened in the TV show.
...quotidian things.
Yeah.
I mean, that was kind of exciting.
And they really showed... domestic violence in a way where you can understand how a very smart woman, in this case, you know, she's a brilliant lawyer, has been, you know, is completely under the thumb of an abusive husband because there's a misconception that, like, oh, a smart woman would just leave him. Mm-hmm. And they do a really good job making that feel real.
Do you know when she's on her way to the airport with the kids and you think she's going to go away and go somewhere else, but she's really going to hug him and they give a big kiss?
You watched the whole thing.
This is Patrick, who definitely didn't watch it.
That was the only episode I watched.
So what did you... So what I loved about the show, too, was it was... We're off the rails again. Full of it. I loved it. It was set in Monterey, and it was like, I love the way that it was shot and stuff, too.
Yeah, it was pretty.
So,
did you like the theme song?
I did like the theme song. And I think HBO always does like really cool opening segments.
I have beef.
Why?
With the theme song. And then we can talk about Monterey. But,
okay, cool.
The theme song drives me insane because it has a horrible grammatical error that they repeat over and over and over right at the end. And I can't even stand it. It's like, blah, 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 I believe in you and I. And then they repeat in you and I over and over.
That's the absolute worst.
It's horrible. Oh. It's so great.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Whoever's saying that song.
That is terrible. And I'll tell you what.
Oh, my God.
You know, Jimmy Breslin, the writer, died, you know, recently. The greatest newspaper man in the history of New York. Great journalist. A great influence on me personally. And I was going back and reading some of his stuff. After he died, I mean, if you had lived during the time of Breslin, you would know, like, his column every time it came out was something to look forward to. Anyway, he wrote about Donald Trump in the 80s, and one of his stories was he called him Mr. Between You and I. He says, because only an idiot trying to sound smart says between you and I. Uh-huh. Okay? And that's what he called him for the whole rest of the thing. It was like, Mr. Between you and I.
Yeah.
Way ahead of the curve.
So while I you know.
Object of the preposition.
The song, but it just was so cringy.
I didn't even like think about that.
Oh my God. Well, now you'll never hear it the same way. It's going
to
drive me
crazy.
I'm glad
the show's over now and I don't have to go back in the
end. See, I like a woman who understands grammar. I like a man who understands grammar.
You and I together.
You and I both.
She heard that and she bristled, and that turns me on.
Okay, yeah. So back to Monterey.
Me too.
So now Monterey is a segue towards a more serious issue.
Totally. So
global warming.
Did you guys know that this winter season was the rainiest season in Monterey County in 100 years?
You know, I used to be an on-air weather personality here at Heritage Radio. Mm-hmm.
Oh.
He's our first weatherman, food weatherman. So I did not know. Was it wet everywhere or just wet there?
It was wet all in California, which in some instances is really great because they're in a drought, right? And they need rain.
They're officially out of the drought.
Yeah. And so that was great. But in Big Sur, you know, if you've ever taken that drive up Highway 1, the Pacific Coast Highway, it's very hilly. So they've had tons and tons of mudslides. And in late February, mudslides completely closed part of the road to the, I believe, the north of Big Sur, and then the south of Big Sur, totally like knocked out a bridge. So people were stranded in that area. And it's also caused, the bridge had to be torn down. It's caused a bunch of restaurants and businesses to temporarily close. And they're still closed because now there's no way to get in and out. So I spoke to reporter Tom Wright, who works for the Monterey Herald, about, you know, what's been going on with the recent storms. So Vitor, if you could play that.
Nice.
I think kind of the number that illustrates it best is the month of February, Big Sur received 1,150% of normal rainfall for the year. And so even, you know, weeks after the rain stopped, it was still water pouring down the hills. It's still, everything is soaked. It's really amazing. I mean, this kind of winter is something that does happen frequently in Big Sur. There have been other years that mudslides have cut off the area, but nothing quite like this, where it led to a bridge that completely gave out and split the community in half.
Yeah, when you first heard that the bridge was, I guess, condemned, what went through your mind?
Oh, well, I mean, it started with, we saw someone who was walking down below and noticed some cracks. And at first it was like, okay, well, they'll be able to fix it. It won't necessarily, you know, be something that's going to be a year. And at this point, they have changed it. At one point in time, we're looking at 9 months to 12 months that it's going to be closed. They're now looking at about 6 months, which is still really tough, but it's not quite as bad. But it's nothing like we've really ever seen down here before.
Yeah, and can you tell us a little bit about, in the immediate aftermath, people were stranded, and how did they cope with that? I know that there were some airlifts of supplies done and things like that.
Yeah, the county helped out with an airlift. They brought a helicopter in to bring mostly food. They also actually brought some homework for some kids, because there's about 35 students that are on the southern side of the bridge who are, at one point, they weren't able to go to school at all. And so what's happening is, in addition to the bridge in the north and the south, there's still mudslides months after that. Basically, the road needs to be reconstructed in some areas. And so it was really devastating, and it's been a pretty difficult situation for people.
Yeah, and it's a pretty small community, right?
Yeah, it's a relatively small community. The folks that are stuck on the other side of the bridge, there's about 400 people. And I say stuck at this point, there's limited ways to get out. The state parks crews out here, along with volunteers, did create a trail, so you can now walk your way out. It's about a 30-minute hike, and it does get pretty steep at times, but that's probably the main option out, and you can take that to get back up to the northern part of Big Sur. It's a trail that circumvents the bridge that's now completely demolished, and they're working on building a new one, or at least the beginning of that. But, and there's also now a windy highway road that it can take nearly 4 hours as to what was before a 1-hour drive to get back up north to Carmel and Monterey and resupply. Mm-hmm. So it's a pretty dramatic difference.
So are people, I saw that there was like a lot of these footpaths built now, or the one main one. Are people really walking, walking to go get supplies and food?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, it's not ideal, but for some people, that's kind of the only option. I was out there last week, and actually we walked by a gentleman who he was actually going to work on some piping, some water systems on the other side. And it was pretty, he was carrying buckets with all of his work stuff. And but there are also people that are, you know, carrying food supplies. There is actually one, at least that I know of, there's one restaurant down there that's open. There's the Big Sur Deli and Tap House. And I believe they're bringing food in from the south, which that's another tricky situation because of the mudslides. But there are people as well that are carrying, you know, backpacks or buckets, whatever they can get their food into, just to have supplies. Some people, and I mean, that's the lighter stuff. People are also having to carry, you know, laundry detergent, mm-hmm. dog food, cat litter. So it's pretty difficult for a lot of folks.
Wow. And yeah, so a lot of restaurants and hotels and resorts, because it's, you know, you rely a lot on tourism in that area. It's beautiful. But a lot of people, that's their job. You know, what's the sense like there? How are they coping with that? Because a lot of these places aren't going to reopen until the road is reopened.
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple of businesses. There's Beach Inn is hoping to open in the next month or so. There's also the Post Ranch Inn is hoping to open. But I just heard from someone from there today, and they are hoping to make an announcement this week. It sounded like that's going to get pushed back. But mm-hmm. the Post Ranch Inn has the Sierra Mar restaurant, which is really nice. There's a bunch of other different establishments down there. Nepenthe, there's Fauna. And yeah, pretty much a lot of them are just, you know, they're frozen, and they'll ultimately have to wait for the road to reopen to have any kind of real business. There's talk of maybe helicoptering in people to some of the businesses. You know, these are obviously the more upscale places if you're going to go through all of that.
But right.
It's a really difficult situation. And on top of that, most of the workers at these businesses on the southern end live on the northern end. So just for them to get to work, they have to take that 30-minute hike and then walk down the road, however much further it may be after that, just to get to work. So it's the situation that's really compounded because of a lot of the different problems.
Yeah. And it makes me wonder if some of these people, while they're out of work and can't get to the restaurants while they're closed, if they're going to possibly look for other jobs. And I'm sure the restaurants are concerned about that as well. People not even like, being there when they're ready to reopen.
Yeah, that will be an issue. And I mean, to some of the people have applied for unemployment. There's different situations. There is the Small Business Administration is trying to help out some of the businesses in the area. But ultimately, yes, it'll be interesting to see if some of these businesses will be able to reopen. I mean, there's a possibility that some of them may just have to shut down or find some kind of different way to operate until they can get fully staffed, until they can get people back in there.
Okay, so yeah, as he was mentioning, some businesses, since they're still closed, are actually considering flying people in via helicopter. I actually spoke to someone at Post Ranch Inn who said that this was an option that they were looking into, and that it would be a breathtaking 15-minute flight along the coast. Mm. So...
Well, I mean, this is all part product of crazy weather. I mean, that's what we covered on the news show when we did it. It's just weather is wacko, and we have to start accepting that and making policy changes to accept that as a reality rather than trying to deny it or claim that it's a cyclical thing or what.
I don't think anyone here is trying to deny it, Patrick.
Well, no, here, no. But again, that's fake news to say that people aren't trying to deny it. We must speak for the country. I mean, policy is shifting against accepting it.
Yeah. Well, speaking of Monterey County and, you know, being responsible and not listening to fake news, and also eating sustainable seafood. That's like a weird transition. But the next thing I'm going to talk about is I also spoke to Sheila Bowman at Seafood Watch with Monterey Bay Aquarium. I think you guys are probably all familiar with that program.
That's the top aquarium and sustainable fishery information outlet in the world, maybe, right? Who started it? Not a Rockefeller. Was it a Getty? or somewhere.
Monterey Bay?
Yeah, Monterey Bay Aquarium. It's one of those families.
Yeah. Okay, well.
They do the seafood sustainability ratings that are in basically every grocery store and like on every phone app.
Yeah, you have the red fish, you have the yellow fish, the blue fish are the ones you can eat.
I need this because actually in my house, like responsibly farmed fish is a topic of conversation because obviously you can't catch everything wild. And obviously some things are farmed responsibly.
Yeah.
But I think there's also, you see farmed, you're a fish purveyor from the fishmonger and you see, you know, farmed and you see wild and your instinct is, of course, you know, the wild is somehow going to be better. But some things, are in season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you can push eat a fish to extinction, too.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool. Let's take a quick listen to this interview with Sheila.
Seafood Watch is a program of the Monterey Bay Aquarium, and going on our 17th year here in Monterey, California, we really are a group that helps people think about the oceans and keeping them healthy. And one of the best ways as consumers that we can do that is by thinking about the seafood that we eat.
Great. And you said it's been around for 17 years. I know a lot of people, maybe like me, they know about the app, but tell us a little bit more about the history and how Seafood Watch got started.
Absolutely. We started here at the Monterey Bay Aquarium with an exhibit we did in 1995 called Fishing for Solutions, which was this really beautiful exhibit, but a very serious message about where our seafood was coming from, both wild-caught fisheries and then farmed seafood, which was on the rise and, of course, continues to be on the rise. And it was a very eye-opening exhibit about sort of what the production and the industry was around seafood and kind of how that was impacting the environment. It was from that exhibit that Seafood Watch grew because our visitors to the aquarium said, great, tell us more about what we should eat. Tell us what we shouldn't eat. Tell us how we can, you know, play a part in this. And ever since then, what Seafood Watch has been doing is looking at the environmental impact of both fish farms and wild fisheries, putting them into a very easy format that helps people, you know, shift towards the good guys, the players, the heroes, the great people in the food system, and shift away from those parts of the industry that are really causing the majority of the damage to the environment.
And do you find that the priorities or the critical species have changed throughout the past 17 years, or is it more that you stick to certain programs that work?
What we have found, and, you know, we have a very set scientific criteria that we use to make these ratings. And the good news is that fisheries and farms move around. So things that have been on the red list have moved up to the yellow list, and in some cases all the way to our green best choices list. Sometimes something on the green list, you know, takes a step back into the yellow list. So more than I think I would ever have imagined, things move around, and the hopeful, like, positive part of all of this is fisheries and fish farms that are on the red list that we personally, let me just speak for myself, thought would never, ever get off that red list. On a regular basis, you see those farmers and those fishermen and those governments taking the steps to reduce the impacts and get their products, you know, into that better list. So it's a very hopeful, positive story.
Can you tell me an example of one of those that made the shift from the red list to the yellow to the green?
Well, one of the fish I think most people have heard of in their life is something called a red snapper, which comes out of the Gulf of Mexico. And that sat on our red list, ironically the red snapper on the red list, for years, until finally the fishery managers started doing the work to protect the species and set the right management and have the right enforcement. And that fish came off of our red list several years ago. So that is a really great example. Out here in California, we have other examples of our close-to-shore ground fish that, again, was named a federal disaster fishery in the year 2000. But the great work of fishermen and managers and nonprofits all together saw many of those fish come off of the red list in 2014, and more of them since then have continued to come off the red list.
That's awesome. What are some species right now that are on the red list that are a high priority for you?
Well, you know, one of the species that sits on the red list, and I don't know what it will do in the future, but bluefin tuna is one I think a lot of people kind of think about. It's so many... The bluefin tuna populations have been so depleted in both the Atlantic and the Pacific that it's really a species that we should stay away from, let those fisheries, those fish recover. So that's one that we are concerned about. Sharks remain an issue, not something that we in the U.S. eat a lot of, but around the world, millions of sharks are killed a year, and not to be eaten in their entirety, but to be finned and have just those fins removed for shark fin soup, for example. So when you're taking a top predator out of a ecosystem like a shark, you really can find yourself sort of tinkering with the system and changing the balance of what works out there. So those are two species, I think, right off the bat that are kind of on the front of our minds to see how we can make some improvements.
And for the people out there who want to be able to use Seafood Watch to make these kind of decisions and be aware about what species they should be avoiding, what's the best way for them to find out about you and the best way to use your resources?
Well, we have partners across the United States and even around the world. So our website's a great place to visit, kind of see who's in their neighborhood, where they can go to a restaurant or go to a zoo and aquarium and learn more. And I think on top of that, the easiest thing on the website, you can either download one of our printable wallet cards, which lets you carry hard copy around with you of the things you should eat and stay away from, or my number one choice is go to your app store and download the Seafood Watch app, which is free. We have almost 2 million people who have done it. And when you're in the restaurants and the grocery stores, take a minute and look at those lists and make a choice for a green item or maybe a yellow item, but definitely keeping away from items on that red list.
Cool. So that was Sheila Bowman. She's the manager of culinary and strategic initiatives for the Seafood Watch app at the Monterey Bay Aquarium.
That just brought to mind something for me when she said that red snapper is now on the green list. I had no idea. I did still think that that was still having trouble. But this also kind of brings up another issue that Monterey has been a leader in, which is fish mislabeling. I think that's a topic for another episode. But red snapper is one of the ones that is famously mislabeled, and it's almost guaranteed to be tilapia if you see red snapper.
Yeah, almost guaranteed. There's so much, you know, so much stuff sold as cod that clearly isn't. So much tilapia that's sold as red snapper. And, you know, hey, there's a lot of veal Milanese, you know, a lot of pork being pounded into veal Milanese, too. I mean, seriously.
I mean, you go to a pizza slice place and they have a veal parm sub, that's probably not veal. That's
There's so much food fraud. It's incredible.
Heritage breeds, I mean, that's probably one of the most co-opted words.
We should do an investigative series about food fraud.
I have a classmate who just got accepted into a fellowship for this, so we'll have a call-in at some point.
Oh, that's awesome. Well,
Marion Burroughs used to do that for the Times. Kim Severson, I think, did that a couple of times. Mm-hmm. Those are the types of interesting articles because, you know, it's justice fighting.
Yeah. And it's just gross. I did a huge research paper about the supply chain of tilapia, and I will just say I don't eat it.
Yeah.
Well, what do you guys know about tilapia? Well, I mean, there is good source tilapia
as well.
There
certainly is. Yeah. It's just, I mean, I if I was like at the tilapia farm in the U.S. and I saw it being grown, I would eat it. But if it's not, like if it's in a restaurant and it's not labeled the source, I won't, because if the tilapia is being farmed in China, like, I know too much about it and I don't want to have anything to do with it.
I have eaten tilapia that my high school, when I was in high school, our FFA chapter raised tilapia. Yeah.
I don't eat any fish because they poop where they live. You know?
Wise words.
But, you know, you can't believe, just because it says it on a menu, you know, that's the same menu that's telling you that the red snapper is tilapia. It's the same, you know, thing that's telling you that the veal Milanese, you know, which is some, you know, shitty pork chop they pounded flat. I mean, seriously, it's very hard to know what to believe. And tilapia has such a bad reputation. Mm-hmm. And even parts of the world, you know, I was just in Mexico, and I tend to think the stuff that is tilapia is actually, you know, someone went out in a boat and caught it. It wasn't like grown, you know, in a bathtub somewhere, you know, in the worst possible conditions. Mm-hmm. You know, or telling you, a lot of people out there give them tilapia a bad name.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, anyway. Well.
Well, should we take a quick break? And, we'll be right back.
Come back and be a little more happy on the happy hour.
My name is Brandon Hoy, co-owner of Roberta's, a super duper awesome place. Roberta's is a very, 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 very proud sponsor of the Heritage Radio Network. We're also super awesome. Thank you, Heritage.
And wait 6 to 8 weeks.
And we are back. Patrick.
Sorry.
Mike, we're back.
I was just complaining that the Heritage Foods, that was a short-ass ad, that we the Heritage Foods signage was a little placed right below Mike's butt.
It's sad.
Oh, it's not always behind Mike's butt. Sometimes
it's
Mike
good.
Moves.
We like that spot.
You can put place a request for a change.
If ever, yeah.
If we'll
ever.
See if we grant it.
See if you guys still have any juice around here. I mean, you only started the place.
No.
Okay.
So what's next?
We got a couple more small headlines we want to talk about, or okay. upcoming events as well. So
not small, important.
Oh,
major.
This is a great one. This is so Ron Finley, the Gangsta Gardener.
Mm-hmm. He was on 2 weeks ago.
He was on. He was on our second episode of our show ever. He called in and let us know what was going on with trying to save his headquarters in L.A.
The Gangsta Garden.
The Gangsta Garden.
I'm trying to guess what he grows.
If you know.
Vegetables.
He grows healthy food for the neighborhood.
Those were scare quotes from those of you.
No, Mike is the problem. Gangsta is about providing.
Yeah.
For your family. That's
and
what Gangsta is.
Between mm-hmm. Since then he's also been on the Farm Report. So you can catch a full interview with him with Aaron Fairbanks on the
Aaron
Farm
Fairbanks.
Report.
And with Nell Newman.
Nell Newman she called in, right?
You may know her. She started this company you might have heard of called Newman's Own Organics.
You probably have bags of her stuff in your pantry right now.
I think
now.
That I'm
in
at
her
least
purse
like 50%
right now.
Made of her pretzels. But anyway, she doesn't work with the company
you
anymore,
are salty.
But I am. But she's amazing and I really think that she's such a pioneer in food, and I'll let you go back to it after this, but I think she just brought organic into the mainstream in a way that nobody has mm-hmm. done before or since. So I just want to give a big
shout out. She brought it so into the mainstream that her biggest challenge starting was getting enough product. She was like, I want to make dog food that's organic. They were like, we don't have enough stuff. She's like, well, go find it. And so she couldn't grow as fast as she wanted to. That's what a pioneer she was.
Yeah. And so she's also like a huge supporter of Ron Finley and the work he's doing. So as you may know, as we covered and talked to Ron about, he's trying to save the headquarters. He's basically has to raise $500,000 to buy it back. And as of earlier today, they had raised $462,000 of the $500,000 goal.
Oh
yeah,
my God, we're so close.
Awesome.
We're $38,000, 37 something short.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right? I mean, last we checked, they were 150 or so in.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
There's still a long way to go. So that's awesome.
Two big donors that have recently given $50,000 each are Khalifa Farms and Annie's Homegrown, as in, you know, Annie's nice. Is another big organics company now.
It's like my whole childhood is Newman's Own and Annie's.
I love Annie's mac and cheese.
That's a lot
don't
of salad dressing right
wrong.
There.
No, and mac and cheese.
Annie's and Newman's Own, don't they? That's like big in the salad dressing aisle.
Amongst
Newman's,
many other
yeah,
things.
Yeah, I mean, come pretzels. On, also, Numino's, which I strongly prefer.
Hey, Vitor,
Oreos.
Can you cut Mike's mic off?
Numino's?
Have you ever
we'll
had
do.
Them?
No. Will do.
They're delicious. Organic they're like organic Oreos.
They're better than
but
Oreos.
But they're better than Oreos.
They're fuller.
So tasty.
Oreos are just, I don't like Oreos.
No.
I have to
and
be honest.
I also love Numino's. I haven't seen them in a while, but they actually made just the, they make the Oreo style with the creamy center, but they also made just the chocolate cookies.
That's the part I want.
Yeah, me too. It was so awesome. They are like,
okay, I'm in.
To me.
Yeah. I'm in.
Oreos may be America's favorite cookie, but they're not my favorite cookie.
I know you felt so guilty. I've never seen you be so guilty, Kat. You're just like, I have to admit, I'm throwing Oreo under the bus.
Sorry, Oreos.
There goes our sponsorship.
I know, right? So that's awesome. We hope that in the next couple days they finish that fundraising goal. You can go to GoFundMe.com/SaveTheGangstaGarden. Got it? Save the Gangsta Garden.
And can we all kind of do our part here? I will say I gave a small amount when we were first talking about them, but I am really inspired by how close they are, and I want us to, everybody around this table who can, please let's agree that we're all going to go on and donate. Patrick's got his credit card in his hand right now.
3715.
No, Patrick!
501.
Censor it.
Security code 1149.
What's your social security number?
05.
No.
Oh God, I'm getting so stressed out right now.
Yeah, how can we donate? And yeah. I want to go.
I want to donate
$100
right now.
All you have to do is go to the URL gofundme.com/SaveTheGangstaGarden, and you can donate. And also,
importantly, that's Gangsta G A R-O-B-E-R-T-A-N-G-S-T-A.
That's right. And if you can't, also if you can't give, just you can share the link on all your social networks, and each share can potentially raise $35. So share it again, share it a third time.
Is that because you get like a $35 bonus from GoFundMe?
I just think that that's the average donation someone gives. And so like if you can reach someone, they're
when
likely.
When does he have to raise it by?
There's not a deadline.
Oh, it's not like Kickstarter.
ASAP.
But yeah, it's. I mean, it's like a pretty dire situation. They need to get this land back.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
It's the headquarters, and like he's kind of starting his own. It's like a huge movement. So,
good.
Yeah, let's support him. All right. So the next thing we want to talk about, Vitor.
I have a big announcement.
What?
Yeah.
Yay!
I'm co-producing an amazing ensemble, which is a basically fusion of jazz, Brazilian, and classical music, and it's conducted by an amazing composer and arranger, Grammy-nominated guy. And we have our first show in New York City. It's at the Rockwood Music Hall, Stage 2.
When is it?
Sunday at 7 p.m. This Sunday, April 9th. It's a big group. We actually had a big recording session with 25 musicians 2 weeks ago, but this is kind of like a condensed version, string quartet, wind quartet, and then drums and a lot of fun.
How do you get tickets?
Oh, they're online. They're also going to be at the door. But if you want to actually check out the dude's work, he's like I said, amazing guy. His name is Rafael Picolotto de Lima.
Cool. We'll put that information on the episode page, yes, too. That's check it out.
Yeah, that's awesome. We just had to spell gangster for this audience.
Give us a
so thank you for
give
that.
Give us a taste. Can you play anything from it just to give people a little inkling? Is that allowed? Like, close out the show with it or something?
Only play like 10 seconds or something.
Yeah,
right?
I think
it's 20 seconds we're allowed.
Okay.
Yeah, play 19 seconds.
I can probably find it here if you give me like...
Yeah, that's interesting.
Let's talk about Cherry Bomb, and then we'll come back to that.
Yeah, we'll
so
come back.
There's a big event this weekend. Whoop, whoop, whoop. It's Cherry Bomb Jubilee, and this weekend it is actually a 2-day event. So it starts.
Carrie Diamond has a show, a top rated show on the network. Just to contextualize,
Radio Cherry Bomb,
and a beautiful magazine.
The beautiful magazine Cherry Bomb.
It comes out 4 times
and,
a year, I believe.
Cherry Bomb Jubilee is going to be amazing. The tickets for Saturday, when all the speeches are happening, are completely sold out, but lucky for you, I will be going there with a handy Zoom recorder, and we'll be recording all the panels, and they'll be going out on Cherry Bomb's feed. So this even if you couldn't get a ticket, you can still listen. And also Sunday, there are tickets available for Jubilee Marketplace, which is going to be a gathering similar to Good Food Awards Mercantile situation.
But only women successful in the business world, right? Or no?
It's. I think the businesses will be like women owned or women chefs will be highlighted, but men can attend.
Right.
You can come, Patrick.
Yeah,
don't
you
worry.
Can come. Also,
we'll be there.
We will be there. Ooh. We have a table. We're going to be selling memberships, and also we have a bomb raffle.
Oh my!
Can we talk
gosh.
About what's in the raffle?
This raffle basket. It has Heritage Foods Wagyu in it.
Really?
It has a Haven's Kitchen cookbook signed in it. It has a Brooklyn Slate cheese board. It has, what else?
A Brooklyn Kitchen gift card for $100, which will get you basically any class at the Brooklyn Kitchen. Also groceries, also amazing kitchen tools.
So this is like many miles.
Drum roll, please. One of our amazing sponsors,
Chef Steps,
has contributed a Jewel sous vide stick so that you have a surefire, fail-safe way to cook that awesome Wagyu.
Ooh.
I was just hoping for a lemon zester.
Well, that explains why
I could really use a lemon zester
in our inventory.
And eating tools, Abe Shaw generously giving us titanium chopsticks and a wooden scoop as well.
Now, he was a guest last week,
two weeks ago.
Yeah,
he's awesome.
That was so much fun. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, this is awesome. So how do you win
this?
And
the raffle tickets are only $5, so you need to come to Jubilee Marketplace. Get out your wallet.
Oh,
yeah.
Patrick is
throwing
3715.
No. But we will have a Square reader, so if you're cashless, we can still take your money
you can
from
call
you
us that
at
day.
Marketplace.
Okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, the raffle basket is so ridiculous. I want to win it so bad, but I think that would look a little sketchy.
No, listen, chance.
Friends and family of Heritage Radio, not eligible.
Exactly. Fine
print. That's not fair.
But it's really amazing, and there are going to be so many awesome people there. You should come. I think they still have a few limited tickets available for Marketplace.
Well, Carrie Diamond's a mover and a shaker. It's important to support her causes, you know? She's a very important person.
Yeah.
She's an action person.
Yes, she is.
All right, Vitor, all right. Play it.
All right, I found it.
Oh. Hit it.
Vitor, I want tickets. I want four tickets. Right. 3715.
That sounded great.
That was awesome.
That was
That's
very
unlike
good.
Anything I've ever heard.
That was
of.
Very
come
good.
Out. It'll I be love a lot that. Of fun.
Well, you clearly don't get around very much.
But gave me
but
all
it
the
was
feels.
Awesome. No, it sounded really good. Very noirish. Very,
oh,
very, very,
yeah.
Very cinematic. I could dig that.
Very
yeah,
double
that could
indemnity.
Fill up a stadium.
I'm
yeah.
like I'm like seeing like the Saul Bass like you know animation you know go, oh. go, going
you didn't
on
even hear the Brazilian part. That was just the classical and jazz part. You know.
Oh, can we hear a bit of the Brazilian part?
You have to come out on
too sexy.
Oh, you see, the first taste is free.
Yeah. Okay, we're getting towards the end of our show, and we like to end our show with some trivia.
What?
So I've put together what I'm calling...
True.
I'm hoping to win a lemon zester.
True. False. You already have one.
I'll take Helen Gurley Brown for 100.
I'm calling it...
False.
Girly,
you don't really know who she is.
Girly Pop Culture Trivia with Patrick and Mike.
Who better?
Yeah.
Patrick went to Vassar. He's an expert. He knows.
Okay. Mike sounds like a woman.
Are you ready?
Definitely.
Yeah, his voice. I'm always like... Hey, doll. Every time I'm like, hey, doll.
All right, you ready?
This is real trivia?
This is real. Yeah.
What do we win?
And it all relates.
I'm hoping for a lemon zest.
Your admiration?
Exactly.
Okay, go.
You have to co-host again next
it
week.
It all relates to something we've talked about on the show.
I don't want to be misogynistic, but Susan B. Anthony.
Or a juicer. I could really use a juicer.
I can give you a juicer if you win.
Hillary Clinton. Women, famous women. My
okay.
mother.
Wait. The trivia hasn't started
oh,
yet.
Sorry.
Yeah. Good try.
I thought it was name a
How
woman.
How mad would I be if he like named one of the answers? I'd be like, you ruined it.
That's it. I want to start a podcast with your mom. That's going to be my next thing.
Oh, your mom is the loveliest.
She's the best.
Such a nice voicemail after the party at Lupicho.
Katie, I'm sorry. I'm starting Mommy Issues. It's going to be all about Patrick. Aww. It's going to be my new podcast.
My mother would be like the lady from Saturday Night Live, Kristen Wiig, who was like, I gave that movie 3.
Oh, your mom
and
is so
four,
awesome.
Whoa.
Oh, come on. She's a classic
Your
lady.
Mom is
I'm
so
kidding.
Awesome.
She
is the golden girl.
Six languages. Okay, go. Question.
Okay, question number one.
Mike.
Who was on the cover of the first issue of Cherry Bomb magazine?
That is trivia.
Chrissy
right.
Teigen.
No, you're close. She was on a more recent issue.
Christina Tosi.
Nope. She was also on
I
one.
Know, so I'm getting close.
She's this person is friends with Christina Tosi. They made cookies together.
Amy Sedaris.
And she's still their milk bar still has
yeah.
cookies named after
the
person.
Model. Who's the very beautiful model? She's a model, right?
Yep.
Big time model. Mm-hmm. I know it. She was here. She posed with Blanca, with Carlo here at Blanca.
Should we give a big hint to tell them what the cookies are called?
I named two covers, by the
yeah,
way.
Do it.
I know. That was really good, Patrick.
You did.
Chrissy Teigen. Oh, man. She also the lady from Padma. Was on the cover, mm-hmm. so I've named three covers,
named three
but
covers.
Just not the original
just not
one.
Not the correct one.
The OG.
Chloe or something like that? What is
the,
it?
It starts with a K.
So
yeah.
Do K. you want me to tell you what the cookies are called?
Yes.
It's going to be a dead giveaway.
Go.
Clossies.
Carrie Clausen.
No, saying it
Kylie,
faster wrong
Kylie
doesn't help.
You're so close.
Her name's you're so
Carly
Kloss.
Yes. Sorry.
That was good. I'm impressed by your cherry pop.
The only cookie I know named after a woman is a Madeline.
So that's pretty good.
That was a literary joke, Patrick.
Okay.
That's good. I got
someday
it.
When you're older, I'll explain it to you.
All right, next reference. Next question.
God,
next reference.
I was so close.
Proustian. Okay. What pop star went on a road trip through Big Sur with Carly Kloss for a Vogue feature?
These are questions for millennials. I'm so wow. I'm like more like the, I'm more
I know
like
it,
I'm more
I
like
know it,
Betsy
I know
Ross,
it. She's, no,
Clara
no, she's
Barton.
Very close with her. She's the woman that that got called off the stage when Beyonce didn't win.
Yep.
And
man,
her name
Patrick,
is
Wow.
I can't remember her name, but she got called up.
Patrick, I'm going to let you finish, but...
What?
I'm going to let you finish, but Beyonce had the greatest video of all time. Who was it? that won when that was said.
No, I know. Well, who won was...
We're
just trying to help you out.
Taylor Swift.
Taylor Swift. Yes, thank you.
Mike got it.
Mike, I thought these were for millennials.
But it just goes to show.
Well, I mean, it was sort of, I pulled a rabbit out
when
of
I don't know people's names, this proves that I could possibly know a lot more about them than they really think.
Really
the
impressed.
Name is
I play this game when I go to the supermarket and I look at the covers of the magazines to see how many people I recognize, and I fail every time.
As you are tonight,
too. No, it's...
Okay.
My God, this is not the yardstick by which I measure my life.
You're one and one, so...
Yeah.
Okay, good. Yeah, he gets credit for that. I can't believe
Question number three. In Golden Girls, Blanche is seen reading the same book in several episodes.
The Quran. What is the Quran?
No. What book is it?
Kama Sutra.
Nope. You're kind of close.
Anarchist cookbook.
Nope.
You're getting cold.
Go back
Joy
the other
of
way.
Sex. Sensuous Woman.
Warmer.
You're getting warmer.
Oh, I'm getting a lot warmer. thinking about Blanche reading The Sensuous Woman. Ooh la la.
That is hot.
Which one was Betty White?
Blanche is Rue McClanahan, right?
Blanche is
the one that slept around.
Yeah.
Not the Kama Sutra.
Exactly. So think
it's
about
not
that.
The right. Joy of Sex.
Kama Sutra, Joy of Sex.
It's a novel, right?
Oh.
Yeah.
Ooh, ooh, la, ooh.
50 Shades of Grey.
Like Thornbirds or something.
Think 50 Shades of Grey, but like older.
Two Shades of Grey.
Valley of the Dolls.
Black.
You guys don't even know what that is.
Do you give up?
So old.
You guys give up?
Yes.
Lady Chatterley's Lover.
Lady Chatterley's Lover. That's like so 19th century. I should have known that.
So was Blanche.
It's so Golden Girls.
Dude, have you ever actually read Chatterley's Lover, which is one of the, it's always named as one of the very most famous banned and censored books, but I mean, it is, it's PG, you know, PG-13.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Right,
next question.
Lady Chatterley's Lover.
Yeah. Next question.
By Herman Melville.
No. What shade of pink did New York Magazine recently publish an article about, saying it refuses to go away?
Fuchsia.
No.
You're really excited about that, though.
A shade of pink.
Mm-hmm.
That's a
rose.
Mm-mm.
Is this another
shade
Golden Girl one?
Of
no.
Pink.
I don't know.
What? Okay, I'll give you a hint.
Also,
50 Shades of Pink.
It's named for a generation that you guys have been like complaining about.
Hippie pink.
Beat pink.
A generation.
Hipster pink. Is there such a thing as hipster pink?
Mm-mm.
A generation? A generation?
You've been complaining about the 19th century. You complained about the 19th century.
Dude, I've been complaining since the 19th century.
No, okay. I'll give you a different hint. It's my generation.
The millennial pink?
Millennial pink.
Well, what is that?
It's like a light
point.
Pink.
Also, Food 52 had an article being like...
Give me like some pan.
These like 1,000 shades cannot all be millennial pink. Nobody knows
give me
what
some,
shade it
give
actually
me some
that's
Pantone.
Not a girl
give
question.
Me some Pantone numbers so like
thanks,
people
girly.
On the radio can understand.
Boys wear pink.
I like Sex Pistols pink. That's my pink.
It's like the Snacky Tunes logo background pink.
Okay, I have a question for you guys.
This is radio, right?
Who is the top contender to be on the new $20 bill?
Harriet Tubman.
True.
I thought that was already decided.
Good job.
Yeah, I think it's a done deal.
That is that.
But
was,
I like
that
how you
turned
the tables.
That was a good question.
That was a surprise.
So it's not Mike Pence?
All right.
What about the much maligned white heterosexual male? Ask me some questions about them for a change.
Yeah, Vassar. Go ahead. Let's see.
Okay, we have one more question.
We have to go. Cindy is here.
Yeah,
we're holding up the works.
Okay. One more. Are we leaving or are we doing one more question?
One more.
Taylor Swift.
In Big Little Lies, all the women dress up as movie versions of Audrey Hepburn for the trivia night party. What movie earned Audrey Hepburn her only Oscar for Best Actress?
Truman Capote. What do you call it?
Nope.
No, not Truman, but...
On Golden Pond.
Nope. That's Katharine Hepburn.
Audrey Hepburn?
You're my knight in shining armor.
Audrey Hepburn. No, she... Breakfast at Tiffany's?
Nope, that's the Truman Capote one.
Yeah. I couldn't handle the pressure.
It was an earlier movie, I think.
Ding, ding,
all right, we're going to give you 10
go,
seconds.
Go, we give up.
Roman Holiday.
All right. We are over
Gregory
time.
Peck?
That brings us that to the end of HR and Happy Hour for this week. Oh. This is Thursday.
I felt so close to that juicer, too.
Thanks to Mike Edison. Thanks to Patrick Martin.
Thank you, guys.
Jordan Werner is
thanks
in the
Kat
studio.
Johnson.
Katie Mosen-Wadler.
Thanks to our fabulous studio engineer, Vitor Hirsch. And go to the concert on Sunday. It'll blow your mind.
3715.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter.
enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.